Luke chapter 2, beginning at verse 8, and it's going to be the account of the shepherds. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Saviour has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be the sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favour rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby, who was lying in a manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what they had been told about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told.
Passage open, there's a sheet there if you want it, but you don't have to if you don't want it. Let's pray as we come to these familiar words. Father, we thank you for giving us your word. Thank you that you breathed it out and that you still use it to speak to our hearts and into our lives to bring about good change. Father, this is a very familiar passage for us. So we especially pray that now in this next half hour, your spirit would bring your words deep to our hearts again. In your name, amen. I wonder, are you a bit too familiar with Christmas? You know, every year you switch on the radio, it's the same classic songs from the 70s, because I don't think anything Christmassy has been written since then. Switch on the television, same classic repeats on television, nostalgia, the same episode of Only Fools and Horses. Perhaps you like to watch the same film every Christmas. You can have the first slide up, Ilza. Whether that's Muppet's Christmas Carol or whether that's the Christmas film of Die Hard. I don't get that one. I still don't understand why that's a Christmas film. But we each have our own little Christmas traditions, don't we? Our family traditions, things that we like to do every year. But sometimes that comforting familiarity can make us a bit complacent to the life-changing message of Jesus born for us. So often I think we can be on autopilot at Christmas. We sing the same carols, often without thinking about the words we're singing. We hear the same familiar passages of scripture and we just switch off thinking, "Oh yeah, I know this. Nothing more that God wants to say to me here." If you're here today and you're not yet a follower of Jesus, we're really pleased that you are here with us. And perhaps you celebrate Christmas every year, but have you actually ever experienced the real blessings that lie at the heart of why Jesus came? For each of us, God wants Christmas to be different for us because he wants us to know him, maybe for some of us the first time ever, but maybe for us, the rest of us, in a deeper way. So can we let God surprise us a bit this morning and actually the whole of this Christmas? Because at the heart of Luke's account of the coming of Jesus lie many big surprises. That's what we've been thinking about the last couple of weeks. 2 weeks ago, we thought about the unexpected conception. Last week, we were thinking about unexpected birth. And today, we're thinking about unexpected guests. We're going to see this morning that God's choice of the first people to hear the news about Jesus are slightly unexpected. We're going to see that the unexpected sign that they were given means that actually our lives can be changed if we embrace that sign. And then we're going to see how the shepherds and Mary both act as pictures of the right response to Jesus that God is looking for in our lives. Let's start off then in verses 8 to 11 and think about the unexpected visitors. So the night Jesus was born, people were getting on with their everyday normal lives. And that included a group of shepherds who would come together at night time with their different flocks to help one another protect the flocks from predators. But for these shepherds, it was just another ordinary night at the office, even if their office was a hillside. When suddenly their lives are completely turned upside down. Look at verse 9 with me. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. Terrified. Have you ever experienced real terror in your life? I think I only have once. I went on a long car journey with a friend who I didn't realize until I got in the car was having a psychotic episode. And there were moments on that journey that I feared for my life. Terror. Angels are created spiritual beings who serve as God's messengers. To meet one is terrifying. You fear for your life. And even more so here, we read that God caused his glory to shine around the shepherds. His glory, his unbearable pure light, that outward manifestation of all his goodness, all his holiness, his otherness. The shining of his magnificence, his excellence. The word for glory sort of literally means sort of weightiness. That substantial presence of God. No wonder they were scared witless. Throughout scripture, when sinful, mortal human beings encounter God's glory, they know they're in trouble. Think of Isaiah, whose words we so often read at Christmas as he prophesied Jesus. But when he had that encounter with the glory of God, what did he say? Woe to me, I'm ruined. He knew he was a sinner in the presence of a holy God, a God who cannot abide sin. And he feared for his life. And so did these shepherds. Last weekend, I was singing in a Christmas concert with my choir in the Sheldonian, and we sang a setting of our reading today that uses the old King James translation. And it says about the shepherds, they were sore afraid. And I like that expression, sore afraid. People who know that they've fallen short of the glory of God that they were created to display should quake with fear when they encounter God in his glory. But here's the thing, God's intention wasn't to scare them to death, but actually to bring them life-changing news. Look at verse 10. The angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord." Hear that deep reassurance. Do not be afraid. Why? Why did they not need to fear being in the presence of God's glory when they are sinful, rebellious people? Is it because somehow God has watered down his idea of sin? Has he now changed his mind and decided that holiness and sin can mix with no consequences? No. Do not be afraid, because God has come to deal with your sin. He has sent a Savior. That one you've been waiting for, the long promised and prophesied for one, the Messiah, the King, the Lord, he has been born tonight. No wonder the angel describes that as good news that will cause great joy for all the people. And the shock in this event is not maybe the unexpected visitation of an angel, but the shock is actually in the group of people that the angel was sent to. The first to hear this good news were not kings, rulers, important people, religious leaders, upright, synagogue-going, morally righteous people. But the first people God wanted to hear was actually those considered the lowest in society. Now, in our society today, we have a bit of a romantic view about shepherds. There's been a best-selling book in the last few years extolling the life of being a shepherd. I think there was a television series about the Yorkshire shepherdess, and oh, it's good for your mental health, outdoors work, woolly animals in balance with nature. But in those days, being a shepherd was what you did if you couldn't do anything else, if you couldn't get another job. If you failed your GCSEs, then shepherding was a good option. They were amongst the lowliest of people. They had no status. They were looked down on because they were often dirty and they smelt something rotten, worse than the smell in this building today. Because you would be if you lived and slept amongst sheep. But here's the good news. God sees the nobodies in the eyes of this world, and he delights to bring the good news of his son coming to be their saviour to them first, if they'll accept him. And isn't that the way God always seems to work? Turn to the later on in the New Testament and hear Paul's word to the Corinthians. The Corinthians thought they were something special and they wanted to be something special. And Paul had to remind them that, well, brothers and sisters, think of what you were when you were called to be Christians. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many were influential. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose the foolish things of this world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of this world to shame the strong. God chose the lowly things of this world and the despised things and the things that are not to nullify the things that are, so that no one may boast before him. It seems to be God's way. I wonder, do you ever feel insignificant in the eyes of the world? Maybe you're not in the in crowd at school or uni. You're not in the popular group in the staff room at work. You know you're never going to be famous or recognized. Or do you ever have that feeling that somehow you're just a bit more sinful, a bit too messed up, you're a bit too complex for God to show interest in you? If that's you, look at the shepherds. God wants you to see his glory in the face of Jesus. The glory of God's perfect plan to save you so that you can know his life-changing love forever. Sometimes when our default position is to think that we're nothing, what we end up doing is hiding a bit from God. We can get into this weird way of thinking, well, his greatest blessing surely must be for those who are more gifted and can serve him, a bit more upfront, like preachers or evangelists. And somehow we think, God's blessing for me is a little bit less. I had two eye-opening conversations this week at the ministry training course that I help on each week with two young men who outwardly look very sorted, very confident. But as they opened up to me and made themselves a bit vulnerable this week, they were both sharing how insecure they feel. And thinking that somehow that disqualifies them from serving God. That somehow they've got to be completely confident and sorted in themselves. What happens when we see ourselves that way in relation to God? Well, what happens is we hold back our hearts from embracing him and desiring to glimpse more of his glory and goodness because somehow we think it's for somebody else. We think we're not on God's A-list. That's not true. Look at the shepherds. Today he wants you to draw near to him in faith. He wants you to see the joy again that he sent Jesus for you, to be your saviour, to be the one through whom you can experience his perfect love forever. Can you begin to see the way that he sees you, his beloved, who his son was willing to become a baby for, willing ultimately to die for? Stop hiding. Stop holding back. Bring yourself to Jesus today. this encounter on that first Christmas night is a picture of the gospel of Jesus. We are the lowly shepherds, tainted and brought low by our sin. To us, Jesus sends the gospel. Good news that the angel says here, the word is the same as gospel. We translate it elsewhere in the New Testament as gospel. It's the same word. The good news, the gospel, that Jesus is the saviour we need. And when we recognise our need and our lowliness, we embrace Jesus as saviour. And when we do that, God gives us real dignity and worth. Not based on the flimsy things that this world esteems, like our wealth or our good looks or our success. No, but an identity that is truly secure because it's based on his work. He adopts us as his own child. In him we're eternally loved and held secure. We're being made ready to spend that eternity where in Jesus God says he's going to pour out the riches of his grace on us throughout all eternity. This Christmas can be very different if you stop holding back and come to Jesus in faith. Unexpected visitors. But secondly, they're given an unexpected sign. Let's look at that in verse 12 to 14. To show the shepherds that they weren't having a mass hallucination because they'd eaten wild mushrooms for their supper, the angel directs them to something concrete, a sign that they can go and see with their own eyes that will confirm the truthfulness of the message that the angels are bringing. Look at that sign in verse 12. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. And think about it for a moment. That's a pretty unusual, unexpected sign. You know, the shepherds might have heard that first, but this will be a sign for you. And they might have been thinking, oh yeah, the sign's going to be, we're going to go to the palace and we're going to see, a newborn king with the best midwives and doctors around. Or maybe they might have thought, we're going to go and be directed to a baby in the home of a well-off, respectable family high up in Bethlehem society. But no. This is going to be the proof that we're telling the truth. You're going to go and see a baby who's lying in an animal's feeding trough. Shows us right from the start that Jesus had come to identify with us as everyday, normal, regular folk. Showing us that in his love, his humility will drive all that he's going to do and say. His humility will take him ultimately to the cross for us. And to somehow confirm the goodness of this rather unexpected plan of God, what happens next? Well, a whole army of angels appear and burst into worship. Look at verse 14. Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favour rests. Again, imagine how overwhelmingly scary this must have been. One angel is terrifying, but a whole battalion of warrior, soldier angels. It's off the scale, isn't it? But their words, their song of praise is important. See the two aspects of it. Glory to God in the highest heaven. God gets the glory in this unexpected salvation plan of him becoming one of us in the baby Jesus. He gets the glory because this plan reveals his love for us. For God so loved the world that he sent his one and only son. This plan shows us the depths of God's mercy, that he won't treat us as our sins deserve, but actually become one of us to take what our sins deserve on himself on that cross. This plan reveals God's awesome wisdom. Only he who could find a way to meet the justice that our sin deserves whilst opening up a way for us to know his mercy and his favour. This plan reveals his unstoppable power. Only he could cause a virgin to conceive by the Holy Spirit. So no wonder it's glory to God in the highest heaven for this amazing plan of salvation. But did you notice secondly in that verse that the angels sing, and on earth peace to those on whom his favour rests. This plan doesn't just bring him glory, it brings us something wonderful. Peace, wholeness, that sense of everything being right. That only comes through being in a right relationship with him. As we trust Jesus as Savior, we are put in that right relationship. And we experience that peace of heart that comes from being at peace with God. No matter what is going on in our lives and in the world around us, we can still always know that peace when we know our God through Jesus. Peace on earth. But also in there is that sure hope of eternal global world peace that will come when Jesus returns, not as a baby, but with all the glory of God to bring about justice as he comes as judge and Lord of all. Then the whole world will experience that peace. I wonder, is this a different way that God works things compared to the way that we would? Does that somehow hold us back from trusting Jesus? Perhaps deep down you would have preferred a plan that seems strong and impressive and powerful and successful in the eyes of the world. One that doesn't involve God becoming a baby and going to a cross. Maybe a plan that would reward you for your efforts and your good living. No, becoming a Christian and experiencing, entering into this promised peace actually requires humbling in us. Admitting that you're wrong, that you've lived a wrong way before God. Letting go of chasing what in life what you think will give you the good life. Embracing God's surprising plan. But it's a wonderful plan. Verse 14 says, if we embrace this Jesus, God's favor will rest upon us. In Christ, we experience the favor of God. In Christ, we know that we are eternally, always loved, held, forgiven, adopted, kept safe, destined for eternal glory. The time of year when adverts are telling you what you need for life to be full and happy, we actually find our heart's deepest longings, our deepest desires, wonderfully met in embracing Jesus. This morning, this Christmas, can you revel again in this unexpected plan of salvation? See again that unusual, unexpected sign of a baby in an animal trough. Having had this amazing news and encounter with the angels, how should the shepherds have responded? How should we respond to this good news of Jesus born for our salvation? Well, the next bit of Luke's account shows us three right responses. We see two responses in the shepherd and one in Mary. They show us the way to live and respond this Christmas time. Here's the first response of the shepherds in verse 15. Have a look at it with me. When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. Do you see, the shepherds take God at his word. They don't start a philosophical discussion about angels and, are they real and is God real? They immediately do what the angels had wanted. They go off to find Jesus for themselves. In fact, Luke says they hurried off. This was urgent. This was important. The shepherds take God at his word. If you're here today and you're not yet a follower of Jesus, what are you going to do with this good news of Jesus this Christmas time? Do you need to investigate him a bit more for yourself? I can encourage you to do that. We'd love to help you. That's why we exist as a church. We can give you a little book if you're a reader, a short little book that will just help you dig into why Jesus came and what he's looking from for you in response. Or I could point you to something to listen to, or we'd love to meet up with you if you've got questions and want to discuss it. We'd love to do that with you. Just come and grab me at the end. And if you are following Jesus, are you someone who's still taking God at his word in your everyday life? You know, when you hear the word preached, when you read it alone, are you still responding with faith and obedience? Can you commit yourself afresh to this response of the shepherds, taking God at their word, taking his word, taking it seriously? And if you do that, you know what happened? Just as it was proved to be true for the shepherds, we too will prove the wisdom of God in our life. We will prove the truth of the gospel, just like it was for the shepherds too. Take God at his word. But the shepherds also give us a second right response. Look at verse 17 and 18. When they'd seen Jesus, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. What do they do? Having seen it with their own eyes, they spread the word. They couldn't keep quiet about who Jesus was, who he is, what they'd been told about him, what they'd experienced. Now, I know in our culture it's not the done thing to talk about Jesus. But if his salvation has gripped our hearts, if we're enjoying living in this peace with God, we'll want to use the opportunities that Christmas gives to us. We'll invite people next week, the week after Christmas Day. Do you know, a recent survey showed that a high percentage of people living in the UK say they would go to church with a friend if a friend invited them. They spread the word. And then verse 20, it says, they returned glorifying and praising God for all the things they'd heard and seen, which were just as they'd been told. Here's the thing. If our hearts are full of Jesus, if we're rejoicing in God for Jesus, then here's the thing. Our lips will be much more ready to speak of him and take those opportunities when they come along. We're not all called to be evangelists, but the New Testament does describe us as witnesses. Witnesses to what we've seen and heard, just as the shepherds witnessed to what they saw and heard. Who will you bear witness to this Christmas time? Who even this week can you invite that they might hear the good news of Jesus? One final response, right response, that we see, and that's in Mary in verse 19. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. I wonder, above all, can we too treasure up the wonderful truth of all that Jesus' coming means for us? Can we spend this season pondering, thinking on them afresh? If you're using an Advent devotional, don't just see it as a thing to tick off on your daily list, but ponder those truths. Use good Christmas Christian playlists to meditate on wonderful lyrics that just bring those truths to life. Because here's the thing, treasuring and pondering these truths, just as Mary did, will actually increase our love for Jesus. Pondering and treasuring up these wonderful truths will cause us, like it did for Mary, to rejoice, to find joy in him. We need to find joy in him, don't we? This season is so busy and pressured. We need that joy of the Lord to be our strength. And ultimately, we always will speak of what gives us joy. Pondering the wonderful truths of Jesus, born for our salvation, that will lead us to living for his glory, and it will lead us to speak of his glory. Let's pray together.